855 the number 2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Laurie Spencer and Mr. Rick Schmidt. Today is the 27th day of April, year of our Lord, 2019. Hope everybody's having a great morning. Here in South Central Missouri, we've got rain 54 degrees and looking for a high of 73 and sunny skies later in the afternoon. So we're looking forward to that. Okay, Laurie, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good morning, everyone.
Okay. Good morning, and I know Rick's on the line. All right, ladies and gentlemen, because John Moore has been off the air all week, I invited him to come on and give us some of the highlights of what he has missed being able to put out this week. We're going to have John on for an hour. We'll be actually interviewing him also. Good morning, John.
Morning, Tim. Well, I was standing at the position of attention while you were playing your intro music there. Very nice.
Well, thank you.
That's good to be with you. Good morning, Laurie. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Yeah. I'm off the air possibly for another week. I just found out. I was hoping to be back on air live this coming Monday, but there are situations need to be dealt with at Republic Broadcasting, and that's just the way it is for the next week or so. Well, we don't have any really breaking news. Something I found rather disturbing, even though I'm not Catholic, I am a Christian, and the President of France, President Macron, is saying that when Notre Dame Cathedral is rebuilt, there should be a minaret incorporated into the architecture, which, of course, according to the Muslims, would make that, I believe, officially a mosque in the belief system of the Muslims. I hope that
well, maybe they'll quit burning it down now.
good
Cheaper
point
than
there.
Insurance.
Yeah. Good point there. Well, with this current Pope, I'm not sure that he will resist that. I hope there's a lot of resistance from Catholics all over the world. There needs to be. It's basically a surrender of Christianity to Islam in Paris. And I believe their belief system states, and if one of you knows the details, either no religious building can be higher than a mosque, or is it possibly any structure at all in any given town can be higher than the highest point of a mosque. Rick, do you know, or Tim?
I do not. I had not heard that, but in their way of thinking, it makes sense.
No, I do not know that either. But I do know this, which actually came as something of a surprise to me. Notre Dame was not owned by the Catholic Church. It was owned by France. So there are some political problems here with the minaret, and that is that it's still their property. Still, you know, we got an issue there.
Well, that socialist communist government they've got in France, there's no telling what they're going to do.
Well, I even saw plans to put a glass roof on it and turn it into a quasi-greenhouse.
Really?
And that was from the French government.
Well, it's hard to say what those people are going to do over there. My friend Ted Brewer is going over there, I think, in 2 weeks. And he says inside the people in Paris, the native Parisians, French Parisians, are not very nice people. Once you get away from Paris, though, he says that the French people are just as nice and polite and as can be. something unique about that city. I don't know what it is. It has people turn out that way. But that's their problem, not ours, is it, gentlemen? And lower, and
that's
lower.
Correct. Well, I've been to France one time, actually Paris, and that was almost 40 years ago. I spent a total of 8 or 9 hours there, you know, way over on a flight. And I have no desire to go back, folks, none whatsoever.
There's something I did come across. It's proprietary. And this is put out by Paul Martin out there in Denver, that on April the 12th, and possibly a day before or a day after, doesn't matter, there was a meeting in Chicago involving the heads of state or their representatives of every country south of the American border, every country. The people monitoring it, and it was monitored, weren't certain when I got this information, because it was still going on, what topics were being discussed. So far, what we've come up with analysis, I've worked with a couple of people, is three possibilities. One, they're doing what was done in Yalta prior to the end of World War II, where Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin split up the world between them. Or that's one possibility. Another possibility would be splitting up how they're going to divide the drug proceeds from all the drugs that are coming up from our southern border. And number three, the proceeds from the slave trade. No reason why two or three scenarios couldn't all be taking place at the same time. I vote for number one.
Two and three. Yeah.
Well,
I think two and three are the ones. Okay.
They came across the southern border in luxury motorhomes, unannounced, secretly, traveled from the southern border to Chicago, secretly, met in secret. Now, typically, when heads of state arrive in the United States or any country, at least in our country, the Secretary of State, the State Department, has a warm official welcome for heads of state. There was all kinds of protocols for that. None of that took place for these heads of state going to Chicago. It was totally in secret, they thought. And I hope you're right, Rick. Splitting up profits from slave trades and drugs is certainly better than splitting up the country. But I am a friend of, a personal friend of Dave Hodges, and I don't always agree with Dave's analysis, and Tim and I have talked about this many, many times. On one hand, on the other hand, Dave has excellent sources, and I find myself agreeing with his analysis that we are very possibly being set up for a Red Dawn invasion. I hope that's not true. I pray it's not true. I certainly see it as a possibility. Of course, keeping in mind that Red Dawn is not just the name of two Hollywood films. It's also the name of an official Pentagon war scenario. It pretty much follows the storyline of the two films that were put out. Tim, you got some follow-up on that?
Well, yeah. Actually, when the movie Red Dawn came out, Lori and I and the kids were living in New Orleans. And my job in New Orleans had previously allowed me to review several war plans of the Soviets, or what we believed they were. I'll put it like that. We were inaccurate in half of them. But the reality is I had just read the Red Dawn scenario, and then the movie comes out the next week. So, of course, Lori and I went and bought the movie. And right. We still actually got that first one. And I personally thought the first one was better than the second one, myself.
Most people do. I think they both stand their own merit. I went to see the film at the movie show when it came out in 1984 with two members of my team, sergeant and our COMO NCO. And there was a scene that, unless you watch a film in a theater, you would never be aware of this in a theater packed with Americans. There's a scene early in the film where the character named Robert is in their little hidey hole up there in the mountains, and he's got a 12-gauge shotgun and a hacksaw. And when he started sawing that barrel, there was spontaneous clapping in the audience for him doing
it. I wouldn't know why. Should have been spontaneous moaning.
Well, he was turning a 12-gauge hunting shotgun into a 12-gauge tactical weapon is what he's doing there, Rick. And enough people understood that they started applauding. I am a film buff, and I do like to watch films in a movie theater. It's a rare occasion to get that kind of response out of an audience. It really is very rare. It happens very seldom. But it did in that film. So I believe, of course, the second one that came out in 2012, it had been originally made with communist Chinese invading the United States. And the Chinese had enough political pull and financial wherewithal to demand that the characters be changed to North Koreans, which, due to digital technology, they could do that. I think they both stand on their own merit.
Oh, yeah.
And they both have their own good points. Laura, you saw the film. What were your thoughts on it?
Well, I liked it, but it's because of the actors. But kind of gives the point that somebody lands here in the U.S. To expect a fight because. Most of everybody in the U.S. owns their own guns, and that's one of the propagandas that's put out into the other countries. Be careful when you go there because they all own guns. You might want to think twice, but,
Right. Well, that's what, was it Yamamoto said to the Emperor of Japan?
Yeah.
Was it Yamamoto? Was he a general or he was an admiral, wasn't he?
I was just about to quote this.
Yeah. Right.
Go ahead and give us a quote. Yamamoto's quote to the emperor.
Yeah, he said, "We can't invade them. There'll simply be a rifle behind every blade of grass." That's what he said.
Right. And so I've seen photographs taken in a period of time in 1941, California, Oregon, and Washington State, of groups of hundreds of men armed with 30-30 lever actions, grandpa's bolt. 12-gauge shotguns, all kinds of squirrel rifles, holding them up and ready.
Yep.
Of course, there'd be a different story now in California and Oregon and Washington State. There's still a lot of good men out there that are armed, but it's not. The culture's changed dramatically in the last 80 years, hasn't it, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah. Now, I think if the Chinese invaded California, I don't even think he caught an invasion. I mean, the state government would have a welcoming committee out there and everything else. I don't think there'd be a shot fired.
Well, here's where
I think they'd welcome them.
Almost everybody would for the following reason. The scenario that I believe would happen would be massive riots in the densely populated urban areas, Los Angeles and San Francisco, San Diego, that would get to the point where United Nations help was requested, and that response would include, of course, the Communist Chinese, and they would be welcomed with open arms, despite the fact that it, quite frankly, was an invasion. I think that's a plausible scenario. And with what's going on in California, it makes me wonder if there's something in the water or something in the air that makes these people the way they are. What do you think, Rick?
Something in the colleges is what I deal with this stuff around here all the time. I think I'd be looking at a stir-fry contest out there. As far as I can tell, the Chinese already have it anyway. We have so many young people in this family who are in their 20s and 30s, and when you approach them on a subject, any subject, you think you're just going to have a normal conversation, like I would be having with you, Tim, or Laurie, but out comes these memorized talking points that they haven't even really thought of. They just, it's like listening to somebody recite a poem, and all you can really do is just walk away because you're like, okay, your brain, you gave it away, this is over, it's over now. So, not sure, I don't know.
Well, that's an accurate observation there, Rick. The level of reading among American adults is dismal for what's supposed to be a first world industrialized country. The level of literacy is very dismal. very few Americans under age 40 or even under age 50 read for pleasure because they enjoy reading a book of any kind. I would say, I don't know what the percentage is, but I do know the American Library Association says that 3% of American adults has a library card. But not that you don't need one to read anymore, but I think that's a good example of the of what's going on in our country. And in these public schools, Rick and Laura, you've got children in public school. Any observations on your end, what's going on in the public schools there in Salem, Missouri?
Actually, it's grandkids in public schools now.
Well, I meant grandkids. I said that.
Maybe it's just me, but it seems like every generation gets dumbed down, let's say. They're
dumber.
Dumber. It works. They're not teaching them the true history. They're not teaching them how to use their brain. They're teaching them, okay, here's a computer, here's a calculator, use it. I mean, if you took all those things away from these kids of today, they wouldn't know how to do anything.
And they can't even read cursive.
Right. We had a young man in my local Cherryville post office. If I owed him 75 cents and gave him a dollar, he would need a calculator to figure out he owed me a quarter. And he's a young man, I guess, in his mid to late 20s. I felt so bad for this young man. He didn't last very long at the post office. But and you're right, Laurie, they're not teaching history. My Monday guest, Sam Andrews, he said that his son's history book said the Second Amendment was to guarantee the right of farmers to have guns to harvest game in case there was a crop failure.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
I was wondering about that myself. I was going to look that up, but now I'm good.
Now you're educated. You don't need to look it up.
No, yeah. I don't have to. Yeah, one less thing.
Well, the thing is, they can get away with this because the kids can't read all the amendments. They can't read the Constitution, the originals, because they're written in cursive.
Right. Yep. Well, if you can't write in cursive, you can't read it either, which means if you walk up to the Declaration of Independence in Washington, D.C., you just stand there and look at the squiggles, it may as well be hieroglyphics. That's sad.
Right.
That's wrong. That is so, so wrong. But that's where we are. My sister-in-law asked one of her grandchildren, a teenage girl in high school, to sign something. So she prints her name. And the grandma says, no, I want your signature. And the grandchild in high school says, that is my signature. Grandma says, that is not a signature. You've printed your name. She didn't know how to sign her name. She couldn't
right.
sign. And if you're not taught cursive writing, guess what? You don't have a signature, do you, Laurie?
No, you don't. We've gone through the same thing with Nate and our grandson. I asked him to sign his name, and he prints it. Only for the fact that they do not teach cursive writing in school anymore. So,
but you'll do that.
Uh-huh.
Are you teaching the grandchildren on your own cursive writing, Laurie?
I try to. Doesn't mean they're paying attention.
Uh-huh. Well, there needs to be some kind of reward for properly doing it, and it would ever be appropriate for the youngsters to motivate them. It is so sad, and it's by design. It is by design.
It is.
There was a college professor in California that was correcting papers from his students for grammar and spelling and punctuation, and got called out for being racist because he was correcting college students' papers for grammar, punctuation, and spelling. That was racist. Does that surprise you, Rick?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't surprise me at all, and it's the continuing dumbing down of the system. And I think, you know, a lot of people take a look at things like Common Core, and they say, well, I've read the thing from top to bottom, and it doesn't look bad to me. But, and I think we mentioned this several months ago, is the problem is that what it leaves out is one of the most basic fundamental things is critical thinking. no kid can start with a problem that he has and work it through to a conclusion without some sort of help from someone else.
Hey, guys, hold on.
Okay,
we have a break.
Ladies. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. We are speaking with John Moore today. He is our guest for our first hour. Gentlemen, would you like to continue?
Yes, yes. I got a note here that I should talk about the Energy Cleaner for a couple of moments, and I'll do that. The Energy Cleaner is something that I sell, something that helped Tim Spencer get his life back about, it'll be 10 years ago. This coming fall, I believe, is when we started on the Energy Cleaner with Tim.
Right.
And it's my how time flies, right, Tim? You spent your entire adult life taking every painkiller known to mankind, and back then, 9.5 years ago, you'd visited the General Pershing VA Center down there in Poplar Bluff in preparation for becoming a resident there because you did not want to become a burden on your family. So you started using
Energy Cleaner. I did check into it extensively.
I bet you did because you're that kind of guy. And you were in continuous pain, and I suggested you use the Energy Cleaner. I provide that to you with the batteries installed, a screen pad to put on your bed, and you procrastinated for 2 weeks, and I always make fun of you for procrastinating for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you started
I did.
2 weeks, and then After about 3 to 4 weeks, you decided that you it was not a fluke, that it was not something that was make-believe, that it was real, that the pain relief was real. And you went started going public with me about the relief from the energy cleaner. And we followed you week by week over the next year to the point where you were riding your ponies and climbing radio towers, a long way from being a semi-invalid. So, ladies and gentlemen, the energy cleaner is at my website at thelibertyman.com. Only $285 shipping included, American zip codes. We now have the factory-made fitted mattress pads, so you don't need to make an aluminum screen pad and wait for it to poke you in the back in the middle of the night to go with it. So check out the energy cleaner. Check out the mattress pads at my website at thelibertyman.com. Or you can call my toll-free R line 24 hours a day, 800-592-9543. I should mention also we're going on a cruise. A Caribbean cruise is coming fall. Details at my website. We're leaving on October 12th. If you don't have internet access, give Betsy a call about the Caribbean cruise. 636-530-9502. I say again, 636-530-9502. Well, gentlemen, I want to get back to what we were talking about earlier, the Red Dawn scenario. Yeah. I live in the world of evidence. That's my world. I'm a homicide detective, and I know real evidence when I see it. And when it comes to the Red Dawn scenario, I've been seeing it for years. My friend, Command Sergeant Major Page, on my show years ago, he said the following. He got on a Black Hawk helicopter at MacDill Air Force Base in Florida, flew across the Gulf of Mexico to a Russian military base in Mexico. How about that?
Yeah.
We've got numerous reports of communist Chinese in Mexico. There have been all kinds of things found by the Border Patrol on our border, such as Qurans and Muslim prayer rugs found coming near the border. I've got a firsthand report of a plane landing at a regional airport. Now, these regional airports, like Springfield, Missouri, once it's 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, almost nobody's there. They're really empty, these regional airports. So a plane landed in the middle of the night at Springfield, Missouri Airport. The men got off and were loaded into SUVs and Chevrolet Suburbans and took off on the interstate highway system. Now, that's a firsthand report that I got from somebody I know. We've had similar reports of regional airports having similar situations where aircraft land in the middle of the night, the men get off, and they disperse throughout the interstate highway system.
Well, you're not saying which men?
Muslims.
What? Thank you.
Oh. Muslims. You're welcome. And multiple reports from other sources around the country of similar occurrences of these planes being offloaded in the middle of the night, not going through customs, no interaction with ICE or Border Patrol, and they just disperse throughout the country. This is a really, really big country, and concealing tens of thousands of men in remote locations was not that hard to do, is it, Rick?
No, it is not that hard to do, and if we believe the proliferation rate, the average American family is breeding at a rate of about 1.3 kids a family. Muslims breed at a rate of 8 point something, and that's not including rape. Maybe it is. I don't know. But no, I don't want them here. My wife's younger brother died a good 10 years ago. Was a brilliant guy. He worked with the Fed. I'm talking about the Federal Reserve, and
right.
He came out one day long before I didn't know the difference between a Muslim and a Hindu. And he looked straight at my wife and said, "We're going to have to kill them all." He said, "There's no solution. We have to kill them." And we looked at him like, "Have you lost your mind? Where do you? How can you even say something that you're painting with a very broad brush?" Now,
right.
I think 10, 15 years later, we see that that's where this is going.
Right.
All right, gentlemen, we have, and ladies, we have our break. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. We'll be back in approximately 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here on RBN, we are speaking this morning with John Moore. If you'd like to call in with any comments or questions, our number is 1-800-313-9443, again, 800-313-9443. And go ahead, gentlemen.
Okay, John and Rick and Lori, let's continue on this. John, if we can, I think we could expound a little bit on what the Second Amendment really says. I think most of our listeners probably know, but if there's even one or two that don't understand the purpose of the Second Amendment, we touched on it briefly, but I made an assumption that everybody understood, and I shouldn't have done that. Gentlemen and Lori, let's get your take on what the true meaning and the true purpose of the Second Amendment is.
Well, to understand the Second Amendment, you need to look at the United States Code, which is the current law of the land, United States Code Title 10. Where everything falls apart is not knowing the ignorance of what current, not law a century or two centuries ago, current law right now on April 27, 2019. Who is the militia? There's two militias. There's a federal militia and the state militia. The federal militia is
correct.
All able-bodied men only, no females, all able-bodied men that are had their 17th birthday and not yet had their 45th birthday, 44 years old. The state militias are all able-bodied men and women, 17 to age 60. So once you understand who the militia is right now, not what it used to be, not what we think it is, but what the current law, the black letter law is on April 27th, 2019, then everything else falls into place.
Correct.
So that's essential. And I don't know why the NRA and these other gun rights groups fail to mention that. They just talk about the Second Amendment itself and not talk about the underlying statute that gives the teeth that it needs to have. The purpose of the Second Amendment is to make sure the militia, which includes all men and women aged 17 to 60, have access to military-style weaponry. That's the purpose of it. And the founding fathers were well-versed in 2,000-plus years of human history. They knew what happens when a country becomes a democracy. The purpose of the Electoral College, for example, is to make sure we do not become a democracy. The purpose of the Second Amendment is to make sure that the federal government does not have exclusive access to deadly force. That's what they were fearful of, was the federal government have exclusive access to lethal force. They were fearful of that, and they did not want it to happen. And that's the purpose of the Second Amendment, gentlemen and Lori.
I agree with you 100%, John. And I'm glad you put that out there, because, like I said, I made the incorrect assumption that everybody knew what the score was. And if, like I said, if even one or two listeners that didn't understand, then we've accomplished our goal in that.
Well, here's what most people think. They have a little bit of history knowledge. They believe the National Guard took the place of the militia. That's what they believe.
Which it did not.
Which it did not. Because the statute I'm quoting, which is United States Code Title 10, Section 246, is current law right now. That is the current law right now. Now, in most states, in a county, the county sheriff is the commander of the county militia. In incorporated cities such as the city of Salem, Missouri, or the city of St. Louis, the mayor is the commander of the militia. And, of course, the commander of the militia for the state is the governor. Now, some states, Missouri is one of them, our National Guard is used up and wore out. The people are used up and wore out. The equipment is used up and wore out. And now the state of Missouri has reconstituted the militia as a way of making sure they got manpower and equipment to deal with fires and floods and earthquakes, because the National Guard is so used up and so wore out. So for the first time, basically in more than a century, the state of Missouri now has an official state militia under the command and control of the governor. And most Missourians don't know that, but that is the current law. How about that, Rick?
Apologies.
You there, Rick?
I'm sorry. I was listening, having fun. I've got the left, whatever that means, is always up to the same old trick. Guns are bad. People who have guns are bad. People that have guns do bad things. Take the guns, get the guns away, and we'll finally have an intelligent, tranquil domestic situation. But they know full well the problem we have here is that these people who are constantly creating these false flags in order to create an atmosphere where they can open the discussion about confiscation of one sort or another, they are very well versed in exactly what Amendment 2 is, and they know full well that they know what they're trying to do, and that is to make sure that the common American does not have access to equal force, a force that would be equal to or could contain or assuage a military incursion or an overreach. That is what they're doing. They don't want you to know it, so they cloak that in friendly speech, like, well, we're just all about peace and love, and we just want everybody to get along. It's not what they're doing. They want control.
Well, the leadership knows what you're saying. Useful dupes who are follow all this, they don't have a clue. Many of them really do truly, sincerely believe that technology can be controlled. I did a speech, it's been 20 years ago, where I had the audience had 20 people in the audience with 40 college degrees. It was a Toastmasters speech, a very liberal audience, to say the least. And I brought with me something that was used in World War II in the Philippines. An American officer, he was a stay behind to help fight the Japanese in guerrilla warfare. He developed a way to make a single-shot 12-gauge shotgun using a simple gas pipe that you can get at your local hardware store. We call them a slam-bang shotgun. Something that was told to me years ago, that when it comes to legislative matters in both federal and state, anything involving technology, you don't find hardly any liberals, or none at all, any committee that deals with technology. You just don't find liberals in there. In general, and it was a generalization, but it's very true. In general, most liberals could not change a spark plug on an automobile if you had a pistol pointer, or hadn't their life dependent on it.
They don't even know what a spark plug is, John.
Probably not.
These younger kids, I watch a lot of metal detecting videos. They literally, I watched one guy, he's very popular on YouTube, multimillionaire, but a young kid. He picked up a valve stem when he was metal detecting, dug it up. He did not know what it was. Same thing with the
metal
tire weight, and the same thing with a spark plug. No idea what they were.
Right. Well, in my presentation, I started out by getting them to agree with me. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that farms come from factories that take up a whole city block with highly trained technicians and expensive precision equipment to manufacture farms. And they're all nodding their head yes. Then I hold up the receipt from Ace Hardware for $3.50, where they cut two pieces of pipe, they threaded one piece of pipe, and I made a simple single-shot 12-gauge shotgun for $3.50 from Ace Hardware. And at that point, I destroyed, you could hear the audible sigh when their belief system was shattered, because I went ahead and told them that, ladies and gentlemen, we can't get rid of all the guns in this country until we get rid of all the gas pipe, which, of course, can't be done. And and you really, a single-shot shotgun, it may be primitive, it may be crude, but you really don't want to stand in front of one of these things when it goes off, do you, Rick?
No. I would rather be shot with anything but a shotgun. I got one of these lids, a brilliant guy. He's got his own business out of Chicago. He is, every time he comes around, he wants to hold some weapon. So I gave him a black rifle, and I had a target out there, and I said, it was semi-automatic. I said, shoot that five times. And he knows full well that they're trying to make that stuff illegal. And he shot it five times, and he looks at me like, there. Well, I took I had some 4-buck in my 870, and I shot it five times, and that's 27 pellets. So I had 100 holes in mine, and I said, you know, they're trying to take away the black rifles, but they want to leave me with this. And he looked at me, and his face, he just went white. And I'm like, yep, you guys don't know what you're doing, do you?
Yeah, I like that. Well, at close quarters, a 12-gauge pump shotgun is highly desirable, to say the least. And now, it took 80 years, but the manufacturers figured out how to sell a 12-gauge pistol without any $200 transfer tax. Pretty neat, right there, Tim?
Oh, yeah, it is. And I've seen that shotgun, pistol shotgun. Close range would be great, but, you know, I've got a choke down 12-gauge that I basically built myself. It's a Wingmaster, or not Wingmaster, it's an Express 870, you know, with a legal length barrel, barely legal, but legal. I threaded a choke on it, a rim choke, where I can go anything from improved cylinder modified down to a turkey choke. And I can reach out there with that turkey choke on it or with a slug choke on it, you know, a good 150 yards. I've done it just to see if I could, you know. So it doesn't have to be close range. You take 30 seconds, you can modify from close range to long, well, what I consider long range for the Ozarks, all in one gun.
Handy, real handy. Well, a short 12-gauge shotgun is what I call a fight stopper. It's usually, and it has enough intimidation factor that you don't need to shoot it. And whatever the alcohol and drug-crazed criminal wants to do, it comes to a halt without it being fired. And that's a highly desirable outcome, isn't it, Rick?
The sound of the 12-gauge being racked, I don't care who you are, sends chills. As Matthews would say, it sends a chill up my leg. So, yeah, it's bad news, man. I prefer, you know, about the only thing you can't do with a shotgun is snipe, and that is even a tenuous statement. I mean, there are people with rifled shotguns who are creating 4-inch patterns at 100 yards. I don't know if you call that sniping, but I know a deer does. So, you know, it's it up.
Well, it depends on the circumstances, but you do what you got to do with the equipment you have at hand. Well, getting back to the Second Amendment, it is something very misunderstood. Another one that's misunderstood is the First Amendment, and that was to guarantee the states could keep their state religions. That was one of the purposes of the First Amendment, was to make sure that the states who had state religions would not be interfered with by the new federal government. That's been lost in the pages of history, hasn't it, Tim?
Oh, it absolutely has. No question about it. You know, everybody says First Amendment, free speech. And that's where it is.
Well, and the atheists call it freedom from religion. But
that's true.
Rhode Island was the Baptist state. Maryland, Land of Mary. We have to guess what state the Land of Mary belonged to, what religion. In Rhode Island, you could not get employment with the state government unless you were Baptist, because that was a state religion, and you could not get employment with the state of Rhode Island unless you were a Baptist. That's the way it was, and that's what the First Amendment guarantees, was the right of Rhode Island and Maryland and Virginia and all these other states, New York and so forth, to maintain the state religions they had in place in 1776.
Correct.
People don't want to hear that now, though, do they?
No. No, like I said, the history of these amendments is lost. They don't teach it in school. I don't even think they teach it in college. I don't know that. I've taken, you know, a couple of years of college courses, but nothing ever in history. So I don't know if they teach it or not.
Well, they're supposed to teach it in high school, but the Constitutional Convention was finished. They had these 13 colonies to become 13 states, and they could not get the Constitution to agreement unless these 10 amendments were added to what they'd already come up with in the Constitutional Convention. These men wanted guarantees before they'd put their signatures on the paper, right, Rick?
Yeah, but that was back in, that was in an age of reason. That was when people were, believe it or not, very well educated. I was just talking to my wife recently about members of my family that I personally don't think, they're so ill-informed, I'm not even sure they should really have the right to vote. These people, it was nothing to travel a half a day or a day to vote. And so, yeah, I trusted, even though I may have not agreed with everything that was happening, I trusted these people because they saw that rights and privileges were inexorably linked.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah.
Well, almost no Harvard PhD holders could pass the entrance examination 200 years ago to get into Harvard, because an 18-year-old 200 years ago to get into Harvard had to be able to translate Greek into English and Latin into English before they'd be allowed to be an 18-year-old freshman at Harvard. And we're at a point now where almost no PhDs from Harvard could do that.
True. You know, John, I noticed something. They don't, here in Salem, they don't even teach Latin. And I think I was learning Latin in fourth grade.
If you want a career in medicine or biology, you better well know some basic Latin, or you're going to be lost. You'll be absolutely lost.
I agree.
It's very useful stuff.
Legal profession, less so, but certainly biology and medicine. Rick, you had a follow-up there, Rick?
Hey, we've got a break, guys. We'll be back in 3 minutes, 1-800-313-9443.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show. We've been speaking with John Moore this morning, and at the moment we were speaking about the First Amendment. John, did you know about the bill in the House here in Missouri that was looks like it might be passed, where they want all the homeowners to own an M16?
I'm aware of it. That's a political statement being made. I doubt that it'll... Well, actually, with the House and Senate we've got and the governor, it may pass, but I don't believe it will unless there's some kind of financial compensation for people to make a... Now, it's only $400 to get a pretty nice little AR-15,
well,
by the way.
I think they're trying to make sure that our militia here in Missouri is well-armed, which is the people of Missouri, like you said, because with all the immigrants coming in and the sanctuary cities and, you know, because Missouri doesn't have any sanctuary cities and we don't want them, so.
Well, we got one. St. Louis could easily become one with the communists that are running St. Louis. I would support the bill. I'd like to see some way for people to get a tax break or something to give them the financial wherewithal to do that. A lot of young families are struggling to make ends meet, and another $400 would be something that would be tough for them. But if there was some way to give them an incentive, a financial incentive, I would like to see that be part of it. I haven't read the bill, by the way. Have you?
Not the whole thing, no.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, if you notice, John, on that bill, I read, like Lori said, part of it. The age requirements that, you know, where who this bill would apply to meet the state militia age, 18 to 60.
Okay.
So, I've been getting little hints that this might gain traction. Everybody says it won't, but I've been seeing little bits and pieces for this might actually be brought up on the floor.
Well, I know there was a town in Georgia 20, 25 years ago that
still exists. I forgot the name.
Yeah, it required it and still does. I'm not aware of any state having done it as a state. It would be certainly groundbreaking if that happened. Missouri's got a very pro-gun legislature, both House and Senate.
Yes.
And it may be one of those things that has a chance of passing. I guess I need to read the bill so I'm talking out of intelligence rather than ignorance on that particular bill. You got any follow-up on that, Rick?
You can take on the phone out of it. Yeah, if you can have an Obama phone, why can't we have a Trump gun? I mean, they're $400. I mean, we waste so much money, you know, letting everybody have a nice AR would be fine, although, truth be known, I would probably prefer an AK for everybody, but I could really get behind that one.
Yeah.
As far as Latin goes, I would suggest that all of my children have had extensive Latin. Peter, Tim, whom you've met, had four years of Latin and was very good at it. It, however, is not a spoken language like Dan Quayle thinks. I remember a statement he made. He said, I wish I spoke Latin so that I could talk with the Latin Americans. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
That's funny.
John, I thank you for being on
this hour.
It was
fun, guys. It was fun. We'll do this again sometime.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Okay.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Next hour, we're going to talk about gardening primarily. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.